Welcome to Let's Talk About Test Baby, a fortnightly podcast where I have software testing. So, how does that make you feel? Hello listeners and welcome to episode 66. I'm Jem Hill, your host, as always. I'm here by myself this week. It's a solo episode and I'm going to be talking about dev tools. I'm going to jump basically straight in. The motivation for this was that, well, I'm a manual tester, as I'm sure you all know. I mostly do exploratory testing and then the softer side of quality assurance, so like the planning and the requirements gathering and all that kind of stuff. I've dipped my toes in automation, and I'll continue to do so, but manual testing is what I enjoy doing. I enjoy exploring a system and figuring out what works and what doesn't that way, and that kind of usability testing and things like that. When I hear people discuss automation in terms that I can't get my head around and hear about people looking at logs and all the rest of it, it starts to kind of make me panic. There is a shift in certain areas of the testing community towards shift right and technical testers and stuff that I can't do yet. Never mind know if that's what I want to do. And it kind of makes me panic because if that's the future of testing, I'm not there yet. And I'm not sure when I'll be there. So I try not to panic because panicking doesn't help anything. I try to take a step back and figure out what I do know, what I can learn, and then I can go from there. I'm not going to be managing builds and releases to QA anytime soon. What I can do is dig into the system in front of me. Like I said, at work we use two open source CMSs, so I don't... The testing is different when it's using a program that many people have contributed towards instead of one that you're building from scratch. I don't have to... There are certain areas that I don't have to test because it's core and it's been tested by hundreds of other people. I have to focus on how we've used those bits, which means that the technical side of testing becomes a little different. And because of that, and because I use two different, very different CMS systems at work, I wanted to focus on something that was I could get a lot of use out of that didn't require too much in the way of architectural changes at work and could apply to both CMSs equally. Because I will need to diverge eventually, probably, because different tools work on different CMSs. But for the start, for now, I wanted to take a baby step, is what I'm saying. So I saw a post a while ago, it might even have been last year, on Chrome Developer Tools for testers. So I'd used Chrome Developer Tools before. I was used to viewing elements and using the emulator for mobile devices, but I knew there was more in there and possibly some stuff that I could utilise in there. So I decided that DevTools would be the first place that I looked for how I can dig a bit more into the system in front of me. I started by reviewing what I knew and then moved on to stuff that I wasn't aware of or that I was aware of but hadn't really looked at before because I didn't need it in that moment, so I wasn't going to bother with it. I discovered that the stuff that I knew is the most relevant to me, and while a lot of your stuff is nifty, it's not anything that I could really utilise. But there was a lot in there that I could use and that I'd either missed a few features of or forgotten that I knew about. And I'm hoping to do more of this kind of stuff next year where I pick a topic, either do a segment or an episode about what I know, go away for 2 weeks, learn about it, come back, either do another segment or an update, and then figure out if I need another couple of weeks or if I can put that aside and learn something else, or if it isn't worthwhile me even really. I haven't learned anything that's worthwhile or relevant to me and I move on to another topic. And I've got a list of topics that I'm hoping to cover next year, and I'll be adding to it as more and more stuff comes to me. But basically, I want to structure my learning a little bit more, and structuring it around a two-weekly sprint that coincides with podcasts coming out seemed like the obvious way of structuring these segments. Okay, so onwards to DevTools. I'll be talking about Chrome here, because that's what I generally use, but I know there are similar tools on other browsers, and there'll be documentation out there for those. So, in case there are people out there who don't really know anything at all about DevTools, I've never really interacted with them before, to open DevTools in Chrome, you just right-click anywhere on a web page and click on Inspect, and that will open up The dev tools in the window or the browser. Mine appears at the bottom, some appear on the left or the right side. It depends on how the browser is set up. There are a number of tabs across the top. I'm going to go through a few of them. And I'm also going to throw a link in to a guide to a lot more in-depth functions and features of DevTools, which is aimed at sort of developers, but is still useful and interesting to see what you can do with DevTools if you push it out a little bit. So first you've got your Elements tab, and this is where you inspect elements on the page. You can hover over the bits of HTML and it'll be highlighted on the page where you are. It will jump to where it is on the page if you click on it. So you can see what element is called what in the code. You also have the CSS there, so you can see what styles are being applied to that element, which is useful for figuring out if elements are messing up the page. You can see what element it is. You can also edit the HTML and CSS right there in DevTools. It won't save like in the source file by default, although you can do that, but it will allow you to see what changes will affect what elements and how those affect and things like that. The next thing I want to talk about is the device emulator. It's not even a tab, it's just an icon that looks like a tablet with a phone in front of it. It's in the left-hand corner, and it's a device emulator. It has options for selecting various types of devices, so various types of iPads and iPhones and Samsungs and Blackberries and laptops with a touchscreen and things like that. And obviously it's not going to be as good as, say, Browser Stack or having actual devices, but in a pinch, it's quite good. I also find it useful for if I know I've got a bug on a phone or a device, and getting a screenshot from the device to the laptop to put on Jira is going to be a faff. I can just take a screenshot from the emulated screen, and then that can go onto the bug report. No fuss, it's a lot less painful sometimes than trying to transfer images up to Dropbox or email or whatever. Another nifty thing you can do here is that you can test with throttled internet. So if you want to see what your app or your website does when someone's on 3G or 2G or GPRS, but you can't take the phone outside to test it, you can emulate that here, which is nice if it's an app that's meant to be used on the go. You want to know what happens if someone's using it on a train, for example. You can also spoof your location in Chrome, which is very useful for geolocation. So annoyingly, Chrome has two sets of tabs. There's a top set of tab which has like elements and networking. There's another one that has things like console, and there is a tab called sensors. Under the sensors tab, you will see a geolocation option. This can spoof your location to a number of preset ones around the world. There's also a location not found option. Again, useful for checking localization, especially if it's something that isn't accessible to all users in all countries. And it doesn't require you to actually get on a plane and go to, say, Berlin. There's a Berlin in Chrome. Again, it might not be perfect, but for a basic test before you send it off to an offshore person to test, it might be worth giving it a quick look over. And finally, I'm going to talk about the network tab. So the network tab shows you how long things take to load, essentially. It shows you a lot of detail about what calls you're making, so what requests you're making from the site, the type of request, so you can see if you're making multiple JavaScript requests that might be better compressed into one to save time when it comes to loading things. You can see the responses, so if something is responding with a 404 or a 403, you'll be able to see that in the network tab. And if nothing else, it will give you a page load time right there without having to use any add-ons or anything. If you want to make sure that the page loads in under a second, then you can do that right in Chrome without bothering with any sort of add-ons. You will need to refresh the page to get the network tab to start, which means that chances are things are going to be cached. So you need to figure out how caching works. In DevTools, there is an option to disable the cache while DevTools is open, which is very useful. You can find that under, there's a settings option in the menu, which is under the three dots in the corner. And underneath there, you can color code the network tab, so each type. So if it's a HTML request, it's one color. If it's a JavaScript request, it's another one, etc., etc. And under there, you'll see an option to disable the cache when DevTools is open, which means that Network Tab becomes a lot more realistic when it comes to loading things for the first time. And I'm going to leave it there, short and sweet. As I said, I'll be looking more, maybe not into DevTools, because I think I've got to the end of what is actually useful for me at the moment in DevTools, but I'll keep an eye out, and if anyone knows anything particularly nifty, give me a shout and I will report back. I will be moving on to more of these learnings probably in the new year now. I have, as I've got a list, if there's anything someone particularly wants me to look at or thinks would be useful, give me a shout, I'll incorporate it into my list. I feel really weird announcing that basically I know nothing, but I'm not the only person who feels like this, and I think this whole DevOps technical testing movement has got a lot of people antsy and panicky as well. And so I want to let people know that, one, they're not alone, because there are plenty of us who are like, no, what, no. And just, I guess, we can all learn together. Like, we can be a little team of people learning things and sharing our learnings with other people. And I think that's the only way we can really, if there is a future of testing, I mean, there isn't, there's going to be futures of testing. The only way we can make sure that we're there as a community is to learn and then share our learnings. So that's what I'm going to do. Oh, I'm also going to take this opportunity to plug another podcast that I'm hoping to launch in January next year. It's going to be called Inner Pod. It's already on innerpod.co.uk and at innerpod on Twitter. By the time this episode comes out, it will be on Libsyn under Innerpod as well, and hopefully iTunes and stuff, so we'll be able to subscribe, so please subscribe. It is going to be a storytelling podcast like things like Risk and The Moth and Tell the Bartender and Mortified and all of these things, but the focus is going to be on people sharing stories around mental health, mental health issues, and I would love it if you subscribed or shared the word. And if you wanted to be on it, again, give me a shout, this time at innerpod@gmail.com. So yes, that is a plug. So yes, I'm going to say goodbye now. All the notes and link to the in-depth DevTools for Developers course are going to be in the show notes, which is Let's Talk About Tests.xyz. I am on Twitter at Let's Talk Tests. Let's Talk About Tests@gmail.com is my email address. Oh, I will be emailing people about interviews in 2017. If I miss you off, it is probably because I have forgotten you said you were interested, but I have got a list. But if you want to talk to me and I haven't emailed you by, before this episode comes out probably, but definitely by the end of next week, give me a shout and I will get you on a list. And that's with me or Matt or both of us, whatever you prefer, just drop us an email and we will sort that. And finally, if you want to give the podcast a Christmas present, early or not, then pop onto iTunes and rate and review us, because that helps. And yes, I will see you in a couple of weeks for episode 67. Bye! Our planet will be just a point of light.